You're listening to SBS News.
The Human Rights Commission has criticised delays facing a group of 30,000 asylum seekers who arrived in Australia by boat over an almost two-year period. The asylum seekers were barred from making an application for protection for up to 4 years following their arrivals from 2012, prompting concerns from mental health experts about their condition. Human Rights Commissioner Edward Santo says delays in processing their cases have dragged on.
While people are waiting for their matter in court, they're often treated as no longer eligible for any kind of assistance. And so that means that people can be in huge poverty and distress while they pursue their legal right to go through the judicial system to test their claim.
Due to a number of changes to legal and policy settings since 2012, asylum seekers who arrived by boat are assessed differently from other groups of asylum seekers. Questions about how people are assessed to be genuine refugees have been raised at a conference in Sydney of Australian and international legal experts working in the area of refugee law. The coalition government termed this group the legacy caseload and introduced exceptional legislative restrictions to their eligibility for protection visas. Professor Nicholas Proctor is Chair of Mental Health Nursing and leader of University of South Australia's Mental Health and Suicide Prevention Research Group and has conducted research into the mental health outcomes of this group of asylum seekers.
There's been some very protracted delays. There's been problems getting for those people to be able to secure legal representation and legal support. And our real concern for this group through all of this context is also the impact that it not only has on their mental health and wellbeing, but their sense of hopelessness.
Research by the University of New South Wales reveals a significant number of people in the legacy caseload are stateless, coming from countries including Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Myanmar, Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, Pakistan, Somalia, Sri Lanka, Sudan and Vietnam. Professor Proctor says part of the research involves looking into the suicide rate for this group.
But over the six-year period from 2014 to 2019, we've seen 27 confirmed or suspected suicide deaths, and I stress these are provisional numbers, but based on publicly available information and our own research in this sector and in talking to people in the community, these are significant figures.
Dr. Hilary Evans-Cameron, a keynote speaker at the conference, is a former litigator now at the University of Toronto and has researched refugee determination process. She says there are many hurdles in the decision-making process on both sides. These can include proving a country is safe or unsafe to return to, cross-cultural misunderstanding, and the role of memory for refugees attempting to put a case forward.
You know, people don't remember their dates, for example, and there's all kinds of very social science evidence about how bad memory is for dates as a rule. But the point that I make or that I try to make to our decision makers is not even only that this person doesn't remember well because they're traumatized, but that, you know, our adjudicators, they'll say, look, you couldn't tell me what you did on the weekend with the level of detail and consistency that you expect from the claimant when she's describing her sexual assault that happened 3 years ago. You know, that none of our memories are stable and consistent and complete in the ways that our decision makers sometimes expect them to be.
The vast majority of people who have lodged claims for asylum have arrived by air. Figures disclosed by the federal government last month showed just over 4,000 people arrived by airplane, made a claim for protection between the 1st of July 2019 and 19th of August 2019. That takes the total number of those seeking asylum who arrived by air to more than 95,000 over the last 5 years. Regina Jeffries is an affiliate with the Caldwell Centre for Refugee Law at the University of New South Wales and has been researching this issue. She says while the vast majority of those claims are made after people arrive in the country with a valid visa and have settled in the community, much less is known about how many people are making immediate claims on arrival at Australian airports and how many of those are rejected.
Australian Border Force and the Department of Home Affairs have given numbers in Senate estimates and in other places that seem to indicate that they have a handle on how many people have made claims at the airport. But according to information they've released to me in Freedom of Information requests, those numbers actually may not be correct. And I think this is a critical point that many are missing with respect to air arrivals, is that the data collection frameworks that the ABF and Department of Home Affairs are using to collect this data are faulty.
Ms. Jeffries says the lack of clear information raises questions about whether the department is following its own policies in determining who can apply for asylum on arrival. She says the only numbers available are for people who have been allowed to lodge a protection application on arrival, and that number has remained at under 100 a year for the last 5 years. Ms. Jeffries says there are no figures available about the number of people who have arrived, sought asylum at the airport, but have been automatically rejected and deported.
When you talk about someone having their visa canceled because they might be likely to make a protection claim, or they have made a protection claim, but they're traveling on, say, a student visa or a visitor visa, the government may, the ABF may cancel that visa, but the reason for the cancellation isn't recorded. And so there's no way to know how many people actually have had their visas canceled and have been removed from Australia who might have actually had a legitimate protection claim.
Research on people seeking refugee protection shows Australia continues to receive a very small number of the world's asylum seekers compared to other countries. At the end of 2018, UNHCR reported the number of people forcibly displaced reached a high of 70.8 million people, with the top three countries of origin, Syria, Afghanistan and South Sudan. Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.